Okay, our Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 80. So if you want to grab a Bible, there's some by the back door, you can grab them there. Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 80. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after their father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophet of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Let's pray before we look at the passage. Father God, we thank you for your word and the encouragement of Christmas that it is to us. We pray that as we look at your word today and dwell upon what Christmas means, that you'll just fill our hearts with joy and you'll encourage us at what you have done for us through Jesus. Amen. You know, one of the things I enjoy most in the world is the feeling of the sun on my back as I read a newspaper. The feeling of the sun warming me up on a cold day. The rising of the sun in the morning that brings light after I've had a bad night in bed with sickness. The beauty of the sun shining over the ocean or twinkling through the leaves of a forest. The sun just lifts my mood and it brings my heart joy. The sun is amazing, isn't it? It is not just beautiful and enjoyable. It is essential for life on earth. Without it, the whole world would just freeze in a couple of minutes, wouldn't it, if it just went away? And the sun's very useful. The sun helps us see where we're going during the day, helps us navigate east from west and north from south. The sun itself, though, it's not God. It's just this huge ball of fire and gas. But it is good to dwell upon the benefits of the earthly sun because some of the characteristics of the sun help us to understand the nature and the benefits and the purpose of Jesus, the Son of God. We can think of the sun as a metaphor for Jesus because the Bible uses the sun as a metaphor for Jesus. And today that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a few minutes reflecting and meditating on Jesus' glory and goodness so that our hearts may overflow with thanksgiving and praise to God this Christmas. We read in the Old Testament book of Malachi that God promised he would send his Messiah to save his people, saying, if you wouldn't mind moving the first one, thanks, Maddie. Thanks. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. You may have noticed that that's how Zechariah also, the father of John the Baptist, described Jesus in today's reading. He compared him to the rising sun. He said that his son John would prepare the way for Jesus so that Jesus might give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Just as the sun brings light to the world, so Jesus brings light to the world, just like that. Not physical light. Jesus wasn't glowing or exuding light when he was born. But we do read, of course, that Jesus' face shone like the sun when he was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17. But no, the light that Jesus brings us is a better kind of light than physical light, because he brings us the light of knowledge. In Luke 2 at the temple, we read that the prophet Simeon, he took Jesus in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The light that Jesus brought was one of revelation, and revelation just means new knowledge. Knowledge is a great key, isn't it, that opens up more and more of life to us when we gain it. Think of how much the knowledge of fire enabled humans to get warm and to cook food. How the knowledge of farming enabled communities to settle in one place and to build homes. Think how the knowledge of reading and writing has expanded your world. It's captured knowledge and enables you to share knowledge, to devour it day after day in your home, expanding your mind. The knowledge of driving enables you to more freedom, more flexibility. You can travel. Think about how the knowledge that doctors have gained enables people to live longer and to get well. Knowledge, it opens doors and expands our world. But what was the special revelation or knowledge that Jesus brought to the world? Both Zechariah and Simeon speak about the knowledge that Jesus brought as the knowledge of God's salvation. You know, as a kid, I remember visiting one of those real-life mazes in theme parks. They're designed for family fun, and I was quite young, and I remember getting lost in that maze and starting to fret and worry. But then my brother found me, and he gave me the knowledge to help me escape from that maze. He showed me that you could slide under the walls, which were built on little pillars, and they had gaps under them, and we were able to slide all the way out. He gave me saving knowledge. Zechariah said Jesus came to give his people the knowledge of salvation. And Simeon said a similar thing when he saw Jesus. He said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." But salvation from what? Before Jesus came, the world had no idea how to be saved from death. They had no idea how to be saved from God's anger against sin. They had no idea how to be made right in God's eyes. No idea how to remove the stain of sin and guilt and shame from their lives, from their souls. Yes, the Jewish people had been given glimpses of special knowledge in the Old Testament, but they didn't yet have the full picture. And the rest of the world, the nations, the Gentiles, they lived in total darkness and ignorance. They worshipped idols made in their own corrupted images, and they were violent, wicked, and fearful as they lived out their days. Living in physical darkness, that's one thing, isn't it? We all know how bad darkness is. We've all found ourselves in the dark plenty of times. Are we wandering around at night looking for a candle in the old days when the electricity would cut out? Or out in the bush on a dark night and you're sort of wandering around walking into spider webs? The dark is just not fun. It's not good. You have your hands out in front of you. You're taking small steps. You're trying to avoid stumbling or breaking anything. I remember once running through the bush at night playing a lantern stalk game and suddenly finding myself flung onto my back. I hadn't seen the barbed wire fence in the darkness. And I had little puncture wounds all across my body that told me what had happened. The dark can be scary too, can't it, if you're a kid? You know, is there anything in the dark under my bed or lurking in my cupboard? Or walking along a dark street at night, even for an adult, can be scary. Is there a person hiding in the shadows? Can you imagine spending your entire life in darkness? Being blind, needing someone to take you by the hand to lead you. Imagine if the whole planet had always been in darkness. You know, how bad and difficult life would be to live in darkness all the time and to not know light. We would live with fear. But then imagine if, after years of total darkness, the sun rose in the east and light suddenly spread across the world. Can you picture the joy you would feel? You would experience this overwhelming beauty of seeing clearly for the first time ever. The vibrant colours on earth, in the ocean and in the sky, and seeing each other's faces clearly. Everything is transformed when the sun rises, isn't it? Well, the Bible tells us that all people dwell in a spiritual darkness until they gain the saving knowledge of Jesus. It's not a coincidence that the angels appeared to the shepherds in the night sky. It's not a coincidence that men were led to Jesus by a star in the night sky. These things happened at night to give us a picture of the spiritual state that humanity was in before the coming of Jesus. For as John declares about the coming of Jesus in 1 verse 5, he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world." The coming of Jesus, it's so significant and world-changing that it is compared to the impact of the rising of the sun in the morning. Think about an orphan child who grows up without parents in an orphanage. She doesn't belong to anyone. She has no one to protect her or to guide her. She has no one caring if she does well at school. At Christmas time, there are no relatives warmly greeting her and giving her presents. No cousins, no aunties, no uncles. And she's just trying to make sense of her life. What was the point? Why is life like it is? She lives in a spiritual darkness. Consider the 65-year-old businessman. He's successful. He's worked 60, 70-hour weeks all his life. He's built a great big business. He's well-known socially in his community. He's got successful children. He's the president of the local cricket club, a member of a political party, but he's been diagnosed with cancer. He's had the best of everything in the world, but now what? It's all about to be taken away from him. Maybe he's got 2 or 3 years left and he's asking, what did it mean? What did it matter? And he wonders about these things as the shadow of death descends over his mind. Or maybe the criminal who's in jail, he's made bad decisions after bad decisions, day after day. He chose to fall in with the wrong friends at school. He succumbed to peer pressure, to rob, to steal and to hurt. And now he faces this consequence of daily monotony in prison. His life is in tatters. His heart is bitter. It's full of hate. And he doesn't even want to change. He's a prisoner of the dark. Or the teenage girl who seeks to emulate the influences of our age. She wants to find her life in online followers, people who admire her, people who write to her, that they'll pay her to endorse products. She wants to become richer and more well-known. She wants to be the envy of many. Why? Because it's all that she can see that life is about. But she finds that no matter what steps she takes later in life, whether it's surgery or Botox or creams, whatever it is, her beauty fades. And all she considered to be full life never really satisfied her. All of those four people, they live in darkness. They can't even see their hand in front of their faces because their knowledge is so limited. They don't know why they were created. They don't know what kind of lasting or substantial hope can be had. They think, they don't understand why they're going to turn to dust, why they'll be forgotten by the next generation, or why even that grieves them. They wonder, why do they long for eternity? But when the news of Jesus reaches their ears, they discover that the maker of the universe knows them and loves them. In fact, they discover he loves them with a love that is bigger than the universe, a proven love, a demonstrated love by Jesus dying on a cross for them, an intimate love shown by the divine Son of God humbling himself to take on flesh, to be amongst his people, talking, laughing, and eating with them. In hearing this message, light floods their hearts, and they realize with joy, so I do have meaning. My life is bigger than my jail cell. It's larger than my collection of cars. It's wider than my gaggle of online followers. And I've got a destiny that goes beyond the grave. I can see further. I can have a personal relationship with the living God who knows me through Jesus. And so this saving knowledge that they receive is like the moment that the dawn breaks open the night sky. Zechariah says that God in his tender mercy sent Jesus to shine his light on those who are living in the shadow of death, so that his light will lead them into the path of peace. What kind of life is it to live with the fear of death hanging over us like a shadow? What kind of life is it to not know our purpose, to not know our maker, to not know even our left from our right, wisdom from folly, truth from lies? That is a bitter and anxious life. But the rising sun destroyed death. It destroyed its shadow on the cross. And he leads us into peace with God, the God who made us. For through Jesus, God removes his anger from us. He washes us of our sins. He gives us the promise of the new creation, of eternal life. And in gaining true peace with God, we can find our souls rest in that peace. We can find our anxieties can be soothed. This is the salvation that Jesus came to bring. The knowledge of eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins. And you know, this news is worth shouting from the mountaintops, isn't it? Shouting, death is defeated. Life reigns forever. It's worth shouting to everyone, come and take and drink all that has been given to you. It's true, isn't it, that the birth of Jesus is greater than the rising of the sun in its impact, in its beauty, and in its glory. If you haven't already, can I encourage you today, this Christmas, to wholeheartedly receive the light and life that Jesus freely offers you, to take the path of peace out of the shadow of death. If you have already received this gift of life, of warmth, of the light that Jesus came to earth to give us, can I encourage you to wholeheartedly live in that light and that life, to embrace it fully? Because that's what it means to join with and to follow Jesus. Jesus says in the ages to come, he says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus' purpose in coming is that we'll be transformed to be like him, reflecting his goodness, his glory, and his majesty like a mirror that can reflect the sun. Even now in our poor and troubled and imperfect states that we live in today, our lives have a potential to reflect God's glory because he dwells within us by his Spirit. Paul writes to the church in Ephesians 5, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, because the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." When the sun rises, we don't try and block it away and hide in dark caves, do we? We enjoy it and we live in that sun. This Christmas time, can I encourage you to let your light shine, the light God gives, to not cover it up, to embrace the fruit of the light. Have nothing to do with deeds of darkness. It's a daily choice, isn't it? It's a daily response to Jesus. In what area of your life might you do that? Is it in gentleness? Is it in joyfulness? Is it in grace to others? This Christmas, can you be generous to the poor? Can you be patient with the impatient? Can you be grateful, positive rather than negative, uplifting rather than bringing down? The kids here, why not embrace the light of service? What can I do to help? And gratefulness. Thank you for this present, even though I've got lots of socks already. Parents, why not embrace patience and grace? I know you're tired. Let's stop for a bit and read a book. Why not think of lots of words of encouragement that you can give to your kids alongside the nose? Friends, why not embrace generosity, the generosity of God? Invite the stranger or the foreigner or the lonely to share in Christmas with you. Maybe offer really generous gifts of finance to those in real need and poverty around the world. You know, we're quite fortunate here. We've got lots of opportunities to do that. In this week at Claremont, I put a little link to ways you can support Yemeni believers as they give gifts of Christmas food to their neighbours across the country. We've got friends who serve in different parts of the world that were sent out from this church in Central Asia, in Bulgaria, in Jordan, who are all connected with the poor. We can contact them and say, we want to give you a gift that you might give a gift of love from God to those around you. As Christians, we need to capture every single thought to see and test, is it a thought of light or a thought of darkness? Every selfish thought that comes, we take, we analyze, and we need to reject it. Every proud thought must be crushed and replaced with a thought of humility and love. Let us all choose to live as children of the light. And above all, let the message of Christmas be something we tell at least one person this Christmas, at least one invite, at least one card, at least one word. Consider the wonder of the sun as the sun spreads its light over the world that enables us to see distant mountains and nearby forests, grains of sand on the ground, the vast blue heavens above. Let that thought remind you of all that has happened with the coming of Jesus. Because Jesus is the light of the knowledge of salvation come into the world. Jesus is the tender mercies of God wrapped up in swaddling cloths. Let us remember the mystery of Christmas, that the one who is infinitely more powerful and brighter than the sun, in fact, the one who can hold all of the trillions of stars in his hand, has humbled himself to become a baby lying in a manger for you and for me, that we can come out of the dark. Let's pray. Father God, we're astonished at what you have done for us. Lord, when we contemplate the darkness we live in without Jesus, of the not knowing, of the no purpose, of the no hope of life, to gain the knowledge of salvation, of forgiveness of sins, of eternal life, of relationship with you, of what is good and right and true and wonderful. Father, we thank you for Jesus, the rising sun, come to us in your tender mercy, and we give you praise. Amen.